On the Trail with Nobody, 1970. Achafa. In the glow of an eternal fire under straight cedar beams, a tulalip gathering circled and grew strong, then snaked to Puyallup, where Nisqually tears still grieved, demanding a pipe and offerings of flesh, and pushed us on toward Raymond's, Pit River venison and potatoes, photographer hanging over the dam. Visiting Annie's house in South City full of laughing children, how could we know how soon we would be praying for Richard and Yvonne? But goosebumps from sitting in solitary, feeling Alcatraz, all tribes and spirits everywhere, gave way to chewing bear root those last miles to Haute Villa, men in the kiva singing like wind, which blew us into gallop to protest the ceremonial. Sleeping on the plateau until violence moved me to the Indian school, after that I went home to sleep under a sheet on a cold Texas linoleum floor. Tuklo. We didn't go to Pine Ridge for Wounded Knee, but my brother Oktaha was there with the AK and went to prison. He left for the next world on the diabetes train. I didn't get to see him off. I know how most of our stories ended. In grief, in apathy, in death, in rebirth. But we were warriors, and that time fulfilled prophecy. Now, when I arrived, young, suspicious warriors asked, "Who are you?" Once, I would have raised my chin, but I've fought enough battles with my own. So I frown and just say, "Nobody." The roads are empty now. Only shadows ride their thumbs on the red and black trails crisscrossing our homelands. Glitzy casinos landmark the territories. But the wide sky is the same, and the stars. Older caricatures of ourselves still tell those tales of pride and power when we were young. And Alcatraz was not an island. This one is called Beaver's Tail. And this is what they said. The peoples of the forest had lived many seasons with plenty to eat, mild weather, and easy living. This comfortable life had caused them to become lazy and fat. They had plenty of time to do whatever they wanted, but they weren't happy. They complained about having to do the smallest chore and lay around all day arguing among themselves and frowning about everything. Now, the beaver never stops was the exception. He was always happy and smiling, drumming on logs with his big furry tail or slapping the water with joy as he worked. He loved to stay busy. He harvested logs to build his dams and dens, chewing them down with his sharp teeth, and every so often he would sniff the cedar and shake himself, just glad to be alive. He would take long journeys up and down the river, just seeing the sights. The other animals resented his constant activity and energy, but even more they envied the playful way he enjoyed his work. The adults began to criticize him in front of the children, making fun of his furry wide tail and his two large orange teeth. They laughed at his industriousness and complained that his dams were causing river to rise up higher on its banks than it should. Soon the children began to follow their parents' lead. "Look," they jeered, "there goes ugly old Never Stops, swimming around like he's doing something important." Soon, when their parents weren't listening, they even called him nasty names. The more work Never Stops did, the more they made fun of him. But he seemed not to notice their behavior and kept on being himself. One day the hawk, two feathers missing, came over the mountain frantically waving his red tail. "I've seen a strange and terrible thing. A great red light is coming this way. I could hear the forest screaming where it passed, so I'm here to warn all my relatives who live below me on the earth." Most of the people yawned and paid no attention to him. "Two feathers missing is afraid of his shadow," they sneered. "This is our forest. No one has challenged us as long as we can remember. Our homes are strong, and we are not afraid. Besides, it's time for our afternoon nap." Suddenly, smoke filled the air, and fire, dressed in its distinctive red cloak, swept over the mountain and down upon them. Now, fire is very curious. It wants to see and touch everything. But as everyone knows, fire burns. The people ran around in panic. No one stood up to tell them what to do. They were very afraid. Never Stops, in his many travels, had heard of fire. He heard the story that when fire embraces water, it goes to sleep. We call loudly to the people. "Everybody, run to the river. Jump into the water and swim to the openings I've made in my lodges. There you'll find air and safety. Stay there until this monster is passed or goes to sleep." The people looked at him suspiciously, wondering why he would help them after they'd treated him so badly. But Never Stops paid no attention to them as he ran around swatting the flames with his big wide tail, giving the people more time to escape. Soon he disappeared in the smoke, and that was the last they saw of him. As they ran toward water's edge, they cried out to each other, "How brave Never Stops is!" Later, as they sat weak and shivering in the shelters Beaver had built, they cried together in shame for having been rude and disrespectful to so fearless a warrior. Fire burned up to river's edge, then slept. The forest was charred and gray, but the peoples had survived. With tears on their cheeks, they emerged to see that they had lost their homes and possessions. But mixed with their grief was gratitude. They were grateful for another day of life. Unlimbering their unused muscles, they began to do the work of rebuilding their homes, talking quietly among themselves of the great beaver Never Stops, believing that he had lost his life to fire. Suddenly a shout lifted their heads. From out of the smoke, the scorched figure of Never Stops emerged. For a moment, they were afraid. Then, realizing it was Beaver and not his ghost, they gathered around him, gratefully calling his name. He was a sorry sight indeed, but his eyes were clear and his smile had not changed, even though all the hair had been burned off his flat tail. After that, the peoples retold this honor story as an example to the generations to come, encouraging their children to be like Beaver. As for Never Stops, he never changed, except that the hair on his tail never did grow back.
The Coming of Our Frost. Perceiving ourselves as brittle-boned, trees bent down before the wind, we trade our games to younger hearts, commit to pacing in the cage, composing dirges full of rests, howl no more at the haloed moon, flute no more to a lover's ear, hunt no more where the hills are steep, while others hide the bones, we sleep. We wait and watch imagined blossoms fall. The coming of our frost.
Said the old young man to the young old man, "Alas, time slips away. The world is growing gray, both flower and fruit decay. Beware, old man, beware, old man. The end of life is nearing, and the grave yawns by the way. Said the young old man to the old young man, I'm a trifle hard of hearing, and I didn't catch a word you said, but the cherry tree's in flourish.
Babysitting white man in Indian country. Tiny blue corn ears nestled in their husks, caressed by ancient hands. But they're so small, he said. I poked him hard. Shut up, be respectful, I admonished. Black eyes questioned us. I, who came with him, looked down, ashamed. Hootvilla, singing from the kiva, noise like wind. Is that the restroom? He asked. I held him back. Don't go in there, there's medicine, I cautioned. He pushed me aside. Black eyes followed. I, who came with him, looked down, afraid. In red splash on a sunset plateau, I found a place to sing. Look what I found, he said, holding an old katsina. Look with your eyes, not your fingers, I demanded. He put it in his bag. I walked away and never looked back.
I can hear the wind mate with a willow tree. I can hear their sighing in the night. And I have loved your dusky face and softly touch you in my dream on every mountain road and flowered meadow. There the wild geese fly, they honking in the night. As a candle would sputter into darkness, I will hunger for your kiss throughout all the wilderness. Yet the frost upon my lips is all a touching hand. Wanderer of the winding road, Lord, the fleeting song of home. Wanderer, girl, the winding road with that fleeting song of home. But evening draws a shawl down on the day, and breezes fresh with cut grass scent float over the road. I am just a shadow in this forest for a longing, and there's only mist for painting in where the good road lies. But as I walk this starry path, I know that I will never be a stranger. No, I will never, ever be a stranger. Timber wolves howl me to sleep the night my mama died. And since that time, my heart has thirst for the wild green mountainside. Oh, well, I yearn to watch the full moon rise. For with her comes my song. From deep within my rambling soul, I howl a whole night long. And run the night till sunrise comes. Sleep in meadows high, and hunt the rub up to his bed, and watch the eagle fly. Oh, and though men condemn me for my way is old and true, and I freely run with my family away the wild ones do. I don't kill for sport nor play, nor rob the nests of young. Like men of every nation, they kill the wild ones beneath the sun. You see now, I don't count myself a man, though on two legs I do run. The wolves of my kin and my family in the wilderness, my son. But someday mountains will fall down and islands become sea. And city men will crop a wilderness like a wolf on a midnight breeze. Oh, they will curse and try to run away from the city and their fire. But we will sit on a mountaintop and we'll howl at them on high. And my sons will grow up unafraid of bears and wolves in life. And he'll run the country everywhere with sun and stars at light. Oh, and there we'll live our lives away in the light of the full moon high. Yes, we'll howl again and pass through death to those mountains in
sky. Equality. Went to help some people build a communal camp. Some were Indian, some not. Had a lot of work to do. Met at dawn to burn tobacco and plan the day. Some of them always worried and argued about who should do what. Complained about those perceived not doing their share. We tried to explain, not everyone in the circle has the same role. The idea of equality in everything is false. The storyteller may not hunt, nor the painter sing. Eventually they left, disenchanted with communal life. Grandpa says, some dig holes, some plant seeds, some water and weed, some harvest and dry, some grind and cook, some eat and entertain, some counsel and pray, some watch and do nothing. Do what you do best. Don't be concerned with the rest.